Let's talk about some specific cases that are mentioned in here, and some of them are kind of fun, almost funny. The Phantom Cat is one.
That was my very first case.
Well, tell us about it.
1968, Pasadena, a suburb of Los Angeles. So I'm on the case interviewing the couple, very nice elderly couple, and I happen to love cats. I've had cats, and they had a cat that died, and they were seeing and hearing the cat. And I went, I thought they're just, you know, they're very depressed about it. They're upset because it was, the cat was like a family member, which is quite common. And I thought, well, you know, I'm interviewing them. I'm taping the interview, audio tape. And suddenly something jumps on my lap. I could feel the cat. I could hear the cat, but I couldn't see it or touch it. And then I could feel it kneading the actual, my thighs, and my pants were reacting accordingly. Whatever it was, left my lap and landed on the couch next to me, and the couch depressed as if there was a physical weight there, which, of course, there wasn't. So what was that? Was that psychokinetic manifestation of the couple? They're in their, what, late 60s, early 70s? They've never had anything like this happen prior to this point. They're beyond the range or scope where we expect these things to happen from younger people. So what did I experience? And it certainly made me appreciate what they were telling me a lot more and having a lot more faith in it.
Well, for your very first case, I would think that you're hooked there.
Yeah, I said, okay, what's going on and why? And that was pretty impressive for, you know, even someone as young as me at the time. That was rather amazing. And then it stopped happening a couple of weeks or months later and it went away.
Then you had an early case where it was a fan, a guy who died who had been in life had been a real fan of Star Trek.
Yes. This was great. He was a student in college, and he and two other guys were sharing an apartment in the San Fernando Valley. And this is in the early 1970s. So one of the roommates dies in a horrible car accident, and the other's still living there. They haven't rented out the other bedroom. And the man who died, the young man who died, had various, you know, proclivities or things that he did, like he'd drink orange juice at night. And then he also plays certain music. So after he died, in the middle of the night, the stereo would be on with the records he liked, and the guys that were still alive didn't like that record. Or they find orange juice left out. Also, they'd hear footsteps up and down the hallway, and the bathroom door would close, and the toilet would flush. So what was that?
I hope he put the seat down.
Right. And then the guy was a Star Trek addict, and these other guys hated Star Trek. So every night after the man died, the TV turned itself on at 6 o'clock. It was a manual tuner, no remote. It would always end up on Channel 13, and Star Trek would play. They would turn it off, came back on. Turn it off, came back on. It didn't happen every night, but it happened enough where they were very unnerved by it, and that's why they called.
Were there cases where, I'm trying to remember from the book, where they unplugged the TV and it somehow got plugged back in?
We've had a couple of those, yeah, where appliances were unplugged, and yet they seemed to operate very briefly as if they were still wired in the wall. And the question is, how could this happen, and then why is it happening? And like I said, some of this is strongly suggestive of the externalization of a living psyche. Others suggest the possibility of discarnate intelligence. But the more extraordinary the claims, the more extraordinary the evidence has to be. And that's why I always err on the side of caution.